We have the very special opportunity to welcome into our midst Dr. Elisa Lavie, member of the Knesset. And before we get started, I would call upon Julie Schoenfeld to make some introductory remarks.
Thank you, and thank you to member of Knesset Lavie for going to such lengths to be with us. We are truly very grateful and very excited to spend this time with you. This is a very fitting conclusion to our convention in a number of ways. One is that it was at this convention that we celebrated and honored our colleague Rabbi Amy Eilberg, the first woman ordained in the conservative movement, and so it is fitting that an activist and thought leader on women's issues, M.K. Lavie, would then cap off this convention with her thoughts. Secondly, as you know, work on pluralism and religious freedom in Israel is a matter, it's not really sufficient to say of central importance to our organization. It is a matter on which we work every day and to which we are completely dedicated as an international body. We believe very strongly that a diverse, pluralistic, flourishing Jewish spiritual and religious life in Israel is central to the future of the Jewish people, and simply and perhaps selfishly representing over a million Jews worldwide who learn their Zionism in their conservative and Masorti synagogues, we want to feel as comfortable in Israel as we feel at an AIPAC convention. That is our aspiration. We want to feel as supported and welcome there as we fight so strongly for Israel here. And so I want to make just a few comments. One is to remark upon as yet the unidentified source, but the disturbing and infuriating graffiti on our own congregation, Moreshet Yisrael. We condemn it. We are appalled by it. The notion that any Jews would find themselves in Israel the subject of such harassment, and that anybody, including non-Jews, would find themselves as they have the subject of harassment in Israel, exceeds our imagination. We want to formally thank, in this context, M.K. Lavie's colleague, Dov Lipman, M.K. Dov Lipman, who was the first to visit the congregation and to condemn these actions. As we know, this M.K. Lavie is not the first member of the Yesh Atid party to visit our convention, but Yair Lapid came here 2 years ago, joined us in Atlanta, and it was then that we expressed our support and solidarity for the issues of Jewish pluralism, which the party has made a flagship issue. With 19 seats in the Knesset, we continue to look forward to great things from Yesh Atid and to significant and lasting change in the nature of Jewish religious freedom and pluralism in the Jewish state. We are coming up in this Knesset session, the one that started this week, on a crucial issue in this regard. It is in our prayers, really, that this Knesset session will be the one that ends the monopoly of the Rabbanut on marriage. And we ask you, M.K. Lavie, to bring back to Israel the urgency with which we want to ensure that there will be access to civil divorce for those who are civilly married. That is crucial because we don't want more people's lives to be ruined as they have been up to this point by the marriage monopoly. And secondly, of crucial importance to us, that there be no law which says that in order to receive a civil marriage, you must eschew the God-given right to sanctify your wedding in a way that you see fit by then going and finding a rabbi of your choosing to officiate that wedding. And finally, before I turn this back over to our esteemed president, Rabbi Bill Gershon, I want to thank you personally for your scholarship, for your leadership. The Knesset is full of exciting, thrilling people who bring a kind of leadership and ideas that is what gives everybody in this convention and in our organization our Jewish life. We share this with you. We know what it means to engage in that kind of work, and we express our deep gratitude to you.
Thank you. Dr. Lila Lavi, as you have heard, is a member of the Knesset, the Yesh Atid Party. She is a senior lecturer at the School of Communication of Bar-Ilan University in Israel, and one of the leading academics in Israel of the Jewish cultural sphere who aspire to draw on past history to provide answers to contemporary issues and bring them to the fore of public discussion. Dr. Lavi's areas of research include communications, multiculturalism in Israel, and the role of women in Judaism. In her capacity as an MK, she is the chairperson of the Committee on the Status of Women and a member of the Finance Committee, as well as a member of numerous parliamentary lobbies. She currently spearheads the Center for Media and Religion at Bar-Ilan University, which has as its goal an attempt to understand the ways in which religion uses media in order to influence the greatest potential audience. She is a sought-after speaker in Israel and overseas, and she is the author of A Jewish Woman's Prayer Book, which was published in 2005, which has sold over 150,000 copies, receiving both gold and platinum bestseller awards. And her book was the winner of the 2008 National Jewish Book Award. We are very, very honored to have her with us. We welcome you to the Rabbinical Assembly, Dr. Lavi.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here. And congratulations for your new position. Thank you, Julie, for your words. And I'm really happy to be here. I came for this lecture. I came to meet you. I came as a sister. We have share a Jewish destiny, and we have to work together on it. First of all, I would like to apologize and to condemn what's happened in the synagogue in Jerusalem. And yes, member of the Knesset, my colleague Dov Lipman, was the first one that was there. And yes, we are against violence, and unfortunately in the last 2 weeks we have a lot of violence in Israel, and what's happened in your congregation in Jerusalem is something that we can't continue, and we have to work on it. But unfortunately it's not the only situation that we have in Israel. We see what's happening in Afula, in Faradis, that people came to the Misgad, the Arabic place of prayer, and destroyed. And we see what's happened with the olive trees in Judea and Samaria. You have a lot of violence in Israel, and we really need to work on it. And I condemn what's happened in Beit HaKnesset Moreshet Israel in Jerusalem, and let's pray together that we'll find the tools to work with our people and tell them that this is the not right way to do. So, as I told you, I'm your partner, I'm your sister. Months ago, we hosted my family and me, two young people. Actually, they came for a year in Israel. John Levitt came from in Canada, and Sam Rosen from Philadelphia. They came to Israel for a year to spend in the yeshiva, Tichon Rama in Jerusalem. Daniel Laufer is the principal of this program, and they came for Shabbat to our family. And we sat together, of course, Onig Shabbat, like you, Rabbi, said this limud this morning. And together with my son, year before the army, he learns together with Rabbi Sabato in the yeshiva of Male Adumim. For him, and to meet two boys, two friends, conservative friends that spent time in Yeshiva in Jerusalem. For him, it was the first time that he can, you know, speak with people in his age, but from the conservative movement. And it was a very nice dinner. We had, like always, Friday night, we have a lot of people in our house. Giorot, we'll speak about it later. We have youngest that come for 1 year. And from this conversation, I understood that we don't know about each other. My son didn't know what it means, conservative. And for them, it was the first Shabbat in the Orthodox family. And we really, to be honest, we didn't find the differences, the otherness. We didn't. The youngest find themselves, I mean, they're learning, then they spoke about the same thing. And Julie, I remember your lecture 5 years ago in Baltimore when you said we are looking now about our way as a conservative movement. Who are we? What is our aim? What is our chazon? And we have to work on it. I mean that we have to learn to work together. Sometimes in the Knesset, in the parliament, I feel alone. I feel alone because we have the people that really don't care. I'm in my Yesh Atid, we have 19 people in the parliament, but I'm going to speak today very, very truly, without, you know, put borders between you and me. It's not that easy. I belong to Yesh Atid. Yesh Atid is a secular party, but this is the only place that I can do something in Israel. And for sure, not from religious party, only Yesh Atid. And I'll tell you why. But on the other hand, I'm lonely. I'll give you an example. The first day that I came to the parliament as a new member of the Knesset, I came with a legislation that said that we want to have 4 women in the committee that will choose the rabbinical court. Yeah, you know, for me to speak in English about this issue is the first time, so I wrote a lot of words, and so you have to be patient with me. So rabbinical dayanim judge. Rabbinical dayanim judge. No women in the committee. And together with my friends, women organizations, in the last 15 years, we try to change the law in Israel. And we work on it very, very hard. And it's, you know, it's very, very important to have women in this committee. Our dayanim in Israel, unfortunately, they are not that sensitive to family needs, to women needs. No women, I mean, choose them, and we felt that we need to change the situation and continue to this. Think about the dayanim, that most of them are not Zionists and grew up in the ultra-Orthodox area. They are not that familiar with the Israeli society. So if one of the dayanim decide for a woman that this means or not, you can continue your life with the kids, and he's not part of the Israeli society, and he doesn't, you know, understand the situation in Israel. So we can think about what he will decide for this woman and her family. So we couldn't find in the last 15 years someone to help us from the parliament. So the first thing that I came with this legislation in the first day in the Knesset, and I knew that together with my friend in Yesh Atid, 19 members of the Knesset, we will work on it. And to be honest with you, actually this is the only first legislation between state and religion that passed, and we have this law now in Israel, and 4 women are in the committee, and I did it together with Shuli Moali, member of the Knesset from the Beit Yehudi, because I knew, I need help from the Jewish House Party. But her friends, four friends from her, left the room, left the Melia, how you say, assembly, left the assembly. They didn't want to vote from her party. And in my party, everybody was in the assembly. Although, after, people told me, Elisa, what is their name? Why is it so important? We have filibuster all the day. You can imagine what the ultra-Orthodox people made to us. I mean, it was 5 in the morning when we finished with this legislation. But all my friends were with me, even though they didn't even know why it's important. And later, when I saw when Yair didn't pay attention to this legislation, even though it was the first legislation that was from Yesh Atid, and first legislation and only, unfortunately, between state and religion. And I found out that he didn't, during the, you know, the occasions and meetings, he didn't pay attention to this legislation, and I was very, very upset. And after 3-4 months, I asked him, why you don't, you know, say anything about it? It's really a huge achievement. And he told me, Elisa, to be honest with you, I really don't know why it's so important, and what is the name, and why is this and that, but I tell everyone that Elisa wanted it, and okay, we have it. So, yes, this is the situation. This is the situation. And thanks to Yesh Atid, and thanks to Yair, I can continue working on the thing that I think they are very, very important. I know that it's not easy to understand, but you have to know that in Israel, the secular area, it's not that important. There are much more other issues that are important, and a lot of things important. And the other side, we have the ultra-Orthodox parties and members of the Knesset, that for them, it's really something that they can't forget. Four women in this committee, for them, it's the end of the world. And since then, we are, you know, and understand that the game is changed. Member of the Knesset, Gafni, shouted at me in the assembly and told me, why you start with the Dayanin? Go to the judge. So I told him, thank you very much for your suggestion. So my next legislation was the judge. Now in the Supreme Court, in my second legislations. And I say thank to you, member of the Knesset, Gafni. But it's... Yeah, so you can be my advisor. And he was so upset that now he understood that the situation is really changed, but it's not that simple. It's not that simple, but because since then, the situation in the coalition, leave out the opposition, but in the coalition is really very, very sensitive, especially about the legislation between state and religion. So I know that you want to hear about the legislation in Israel, but I want to tell you a little bit about myself. For me to join to the political life, it wasn't, you know, the first thing that I did in my life. And when I open my lecture here and say that we have to think about Jewish destiny, and we have to share our knowledge, tool. Yes, I want to fight against fundamentalism, but we have to work together. We really have to work together. And things that good for here in the States and in Europe or other countries, South America, Canada, are not, I can't say not good, but we have to be much more sensitive to the situation in Israel. I remember the day that I was asked to come to a huge conservative synagogue in Canada. And I said, okay, I'm going to give a lecture in this synagogue in Shabbat, because the request was to come to give 5 lectures in that synagogue in Canada. And I asked some rabbis that are friendly with, and I asked them about this invitation and what they suggest me, and I say that I'm going everywhere that people ask me to come. That's what I say I did with the book, with the tour that I was invited. But I said, okay, one thing, I'm going to be with you, but one thing, I can't speak with Mike in Shabbat. And when I came, it was a very, very big synagogue, very, very big synagogue. When I came and the rabbi called me to speak, of course it was a mic on the stage, and I moved and I started talking. And then a lot of people, old people, shouted to me, "We can't hear you." And I didn't want to lose, because I had 20 minutes in this lecture, and I didn't want to lose time. You know, people Shabbat morning, they really want to finish with the prayer. And in advance, they told me, "Lisa, you have only 20 minutes. After lunch, you have 1 hour and a half, because people really want to learn and hear about the book and the prayers, etc., etc." And so, the people that want to hear you, they have time after. But it was a moment for me that I felt so badly, because I came and, you know, they know that I'm Orthodox. And it was a moment that, thank God, I finished a officer course in Israel and I know how to shout. So I opened my mouth and I tried to speak, and English is not my mother tongue, so it wasn't easy for me that moment. But that's why I try to say that we have to be much more sensitive to each other. And it's not easy, because in Israel, when the ultra-Orthodox people want to say something in the assembly against me and my work and my legislation, they always use the word, "You are reformist, you are conservative." And you have to understand that I'm not afraid of them. But in this world, they try to take me out of the legitimation. And I need this legitimation to continue working. And I'll be more than that honest with you. Till my book Tfilat Nashim, that now we have it in English, we have it also in English. My book Tfilat Nashim was like Tudat Kashrut for me in the Orthodoxy, because I'm not that easy for the Orthodoxy also. And from the beginning, I always felt that I need to speak about my poor motivation. I remember the day that I published the book in Hebrew, 2005, and a lot of rabbis were against the book, and all of them spoke about my pure motivation. And I felt that suddenly that I need to speak about my poor motivation. Why? Why? I mean, who are they to ask me? And who are they to come and be against women that wrote prayers during the years? Who are they? But I belong to the Orthodoxy. And I know all the sensitive. And I know the politics in between. And I'm old enough to understand that we need patience, because we want to run and to run and to run, but we need some time to stop and look behind and see who is not with us. And in Israel, it's really complicated. And I know that in my age, I'm almost 50, I know that patience is the name of the game. 2 weeks ago, I sat together with Rabbi Shtern. He now wants to be the rabbi of Jerusalem. It was a Shabbos morning in Shira Chadasha, and the panel was discussed about the Agunot. And Rabbi Shtern, first of all, for him to come to Shira Chadasha is unbelievable. You know Rabbi Shtern. So for him to come to Shira Chadasha, it's really something. and for him to speak about Agunot and about Eskem Nisuim, Eskem Nisuim that we spoke about it 20, 15 years ago, and he and his friends said, no way, no way. And now, 2 weeks ago, in Jerusalem, Shabbos morning, Shira Chadasha, he said that Eskem Kedam Nisuim will solve everything. It, for me, it was a miracle. It was a miracle, but I understood again that we need to be patient. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, especially I'm a woman. I know my situation, but I really, really want to share with you my afraidness of our destiny. Yes, I really afraid. That's why I wrote my books. I wrote my books not because, you know, I expert in this field. No, my dissertation really, I belong to a communication department in the Bar-Ilan University. I wrote about news in Israel. I'm not expert in prayers and not in women's studies from a halachic point of view. But I felt when I was 35, I felt that I am, as a Lisa, I'm a second, when is a second civil. Yes, I felt that I don't know why, but always I have to speak about my poor motivation. I have to when I want to change things via kolech, like Jofa here, and you know Jofa, so kolech is the Israel organization for Jewish women Orthodox, and we, when we want together to work about Agunot, about this, about that, always rabbis were against us. So when I found that I can't find answers to my questions and my activities, and I couldn't more than answer, can't find people that work together with me, so I felt that something is wrong. And I always asked myself, what's happened in our generation? Why is that? Why is that, first of all, that we are not working together, but more than that, where are all the other women? And why, I mean, why only Orthodox women in Israel, I'm talking about Israel, are really trying to do things and alone? And I went to find answers. Always I tell my kids and my students, when you can't find answers, go and make your own research. I didn't know that I'm going to write about prayers. I really didn't know that prayers will be the answer. But for me, I knew that I want to find answers from the past and bring it to the future and to the present. How come that women in many, many generations ago continue their Judaism without know how to read and how to write, and the books were closed for them because they didn't know Hebrew? So who taught them? Who gave them the information? How come that my granny, that she came from Afghanistan 100 years ago, and she was Talmida Chachama, my granny knew everything by heart. The first Seder, when I organize and host people as a new bride, I bought a booklet together with all the halachot. I didn't know all the halachot by heart, and I knew. I bought booklet, and via the booklet, I prepared the first seder in my life. And many people, you know, eat rice, and this don't eat rice, and this is bamba and not bamba. So all other the minagim, and I have a big family, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, whatever. And I learned everything because I said, wow, to clean and to arrange and to prepare and to see together and to have Onig Shabbat and Onig Leila Seder together, and I don't want to take from a halachic point of view anything on my shoulders. So I read everything and I prepare it, but my granny didn't need this booklet. So what's happened in our generation, and why is that? And why is that? And yes, I went to the past and tried to find to myself answers. And that's how the book was published, and I'm not going to speak about the book, but I want to speak about the phenomena around the book, because since the book became bestseller in Israel, although some rabbis say don't buy the book, it's reforms, it's conservative, poor motivation, whatever, although it's become phenomena even in the areas that I didn't even think about them. My publisher, Dov Eichenwald from Idiot Achronot, this is the biggest publishing house in Israel, he called me the other day and asked me to bring approval, you say? Askamot, improval, improval. And I said, I need improval to Tfilat Nashim. I mean, why I need it? And he said, in Mea Shearim, they want to sell the book. So from economic point of view, he's, you know, he's a businessman, so he wants to sell the book there. And I didn't even think about, you know, the situation that in Mea Shearim, they want the book. Why they need this book? So I went to Rabbi Lau, and he gave me. And I also went to Rabbi Ovadia. And I asked his daughter, she is a very good friend of mine. She got in the last Yom Ha'atzmaut Independence Day two prizes. She first Idlikat HaMasu'ah in the evening, and in the morning, afternoon, she got the Israeli prize, Adina Bar Shalom. So I went to Adina and I told her, Adina, please take the book to your father, I need approval. And she said, Aliza, I don't know, but you know, my father, but you know what, every week we are going Wednesday afternoon, we're going all the sister and the brothers to my father, I'll take the book. So months and another month, and nothing from her. So I called her, and she said, yes, I saw the book, you know, there is a shelf and some books, and your turn will come. 2 weeks later, she called me, and she said, I have two things to tell you. One is good, one is bad. What with what to start? And I said, okay, start with the bad one. And she said, okay, first of all, my father say it's okay, but then he said you need to clean the book. So what it means to clean the book? It means, you know, to give to one of his sons, and he will clean, take out what the thing that we need to take out. So I said to myself, no way, I'm not going to change anything. And 2 years after, I was invited to conference of Shas, women conference, and it was 1,000 women, and they asked me to come to speak about the book. And then I said to myself, Rabbi Vaida, I don't need your permission. You see, 1,000 women from your congregation, from your people. So that's why I'm talking about patience and process and working together and to bring the change from the field, from the people, from the roots. Legislation are not the only way. We need to ask the people. When Rabbeinu Tam didn't know to answer how to light the candles, he said that let's ask the people, let's ask my aunt. And he went to his aunt and asked her how to light the candles. You know, so women, people, Am Yisrael, remember. And we have to continue working together. Yes, we have a lot of problems in Israel. Yes, in Israel, state and religions are together. We can't change the past. And we need to open the discussion about the balance and about the status quo. Status quo is not a holy wall, but it takes time to change, and we can't do things together, and we can't do everything together. a civil marriage and a Chevra Kadisha and the Kotel Maravi together with all the change there and Merot Samchuyot. You know what is Merot Samchuyot? In Israel, we have marathon between the rabbinical court and the family court. And people that want, families, couples that want to divorce, they have marathon who is going first, either to the rabbinical court or the family court. And it became an issue now. My other legislation now is to stop this marathon. Very, 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 very complicated. The Orthodox are against it, the Beit Yehudi against it, because they see it from the Anim perspective, from the Beit Din perspective. It means that less couples would go to these courts. So they really don't want to help us, and they against us. But let's speak about the Kotel. What's happened in the Kotel since 1988? The first request to the Supreme Court was sent by Anat Hoffman and her colleagues, friends. They wanted to come to the Kotel and pray there. And since then, nobody spoke with them. So when I came to the Knesset, first thing I invite Anat Hoffman and the women, and Rabbi of the Kotel, Rabbi Rabinovich, and the policeman, and Sharansky, and Yizhar Hess, and all the other people that are involved in this issue since 1988. No dialogue since then. So many years without a dialogue. Always fight. Always, you know, against the women, against Anat, against this, against that, against Haredim, coming with all the dirty thing and throw on the women, but not a dialogue. So the first committee, I'm running the women's status and equal in the Knesset. So the first committee together with all the people, it wasn't easy to arrange this committee, but at least since then we have a dialogue and we try to achieve things. And Julie, yeah, thanks to you and to the reform movement, and when Sharansky spoke with you, you found a solution. Other way, I'm telling you the truth, the thing that he spoke with your people out of Israel, and you gave him the mandate to continue working, that's how things are going in Israel. And you have power, and you have ability, and you have much more patience than people in Israel. Yes. And in this example of what's happening in the Kotel Maravi, we need to think together and to work together. And there is other solutions. For example, the new rooms that we found now in Ezrat Nashim, it's become, I don't know if you have been there in the last 2 months, but since last 2 months, there is a much more room in Ezrat Nashim. 5 years ago, I went to Rabbi of the Kotel, Rabbi Rabinovich, and asked him to move the mechitza. You know, Ezrat Nashim, Ezrat Gvorim. In Israel, it's fifth Ezrat Nashim, four-fifths Ezrat Gvorim. More than that, in Ezrat Gvorim, there is air condition, much more books, lights, really very, very nice, and Ezrat Nashim is really, really... not that nice, yeah. So I went to him and I spoke with him together with my friends and colleagues, and nothing happened. So again, I came to the parliament and I say, I have another tool, legislation. So I wrote a legislation, I put it on the table, and then he asked me to speak with him. So another position, another tool. He asked me to meet with him. And he said, see, we have this, we have that, we can't move the mechitza because it's against the halacha. So I said, which halacha? Why halacha? Why we can't change? So he said, it's written in the books. So I said, which books? So he said, the book that I wrote. You can laugh, but the mechitza is still there. So I said, it's so complicated because when I spoke with him about the legislation, he looked at me and said, Eliza, it will never work. So I said, why? And he said, it will never, because you know why? Because so many people in the government are his friends. And not only from the religious party, from other parties. And I'll be honest with you, this legislation, I couldn't put it on the table because it's, you know, there is some steps. I don't have the majority from the ministers in the government to put it into another step. And not all of them are religious, and you know it. Because he has a lot of connections, am I right or wrong, Izao? And he has a lot of power, and he knows how to work together with our politician. So to move the mechitza, move the mechitza to have half-half. See what's happened in holidays and see why new women need to be so... Because that's a fuf. Lama. So in this simple thing, it's so complicated. So now there is two rooms. They are archaeologic. I found two rooms in behind the Mugelbeam bridge, and in these two rooms, I thought it's a good place to have all the women prayer together with, you know, all the thing that they want to have. And I went to him, and you know, I spoke with you about it, and I went to him, and he said no. And then I went to Sharansky, and I spoke him about these two rooms, and then I went to Manblit, because now Manblit has the mandate to arrange all the thing in the hotel. And Mandy told me, Eliza, leave me alone. I have to find a solution for the third area. Don't speak with me about these two rooms. I don't know. I don't want to open another discussion. But why I'm telling you this? Because it's so complicated. And not everything is between religious and states. There are politics. There are a lot of other... issues and calculation that the politicians are thinking about. And when we need to work together, we need to think first of all about politics, and politics is a power, but we need to think about working together. Otherwise, no way to change in this complication situation after 66 years that Israel was established together with state and religion. So, another issue that we are going to work in this coming assembly is like Yair Lapid, my head of our party, said that we are going to put on the table the civil marriage. Civil marriage in the last 6 months, together with Ruth Calderon, member of the Knesset, my colleagues, we work together on this legislation, and we try to find a civil marriage way, really something that without any connection to the halachic way, to the rabbanut. And after a long discussions with rabbis, with academic people, with professors that are really involved in these issues, We wrote this legislation, and I hope that in the coming months we will put it on the table. It doesn't mean, like I said before, it doesn't mean that we will have the majority in the government, because you see what's happened now with the Jewish House. Every other legislation that concerning state and religion, they are putting or either veto or arar or other tool, and they stop our legislation and our activities. But we want to put it on the table. We are working together with Avigdor Lieberman and his party. We are working together with Tzipi Livni and her party. And we hope that, and we know that a lot of members of the Knesset from the other parties, from the opposition, will support this legislation. This legislation means that from the beginning till the end, it will be a civil way for marriage. For two people that want to be together, two human beings that want to be together, including everyone. Everyone, they can marry via the Brit Zugiyut, we call it the Brit Zugiyut, and not civil marriage, because it's Brit Zugiyut, it's really something that it's not with a word Nisuim. Nisuim is a religious word. It's a religious word, and we don't want to use a religious word. And it means that from the beginning till the end, it's a civil way. I hope that it will pass, and I hope that we will establish a new way of marriage in Israel. It will take times, and we will need help. But I hope that it will be in the coming months. Another issue that I know that you are concerned with is Giurim. Giur. What will be with the Giur? So again, another together with a member of the Knesset, Elazar Stern, there is legislation. Legislation that will bring the ability to Rabbanei Arim, to the rabbis in the cities, to make Giurim. I'm sure that you're familiar with what's happened in the last months in Israel. Since the Beit Yehudi said that, yes, we are going to agree on this legislation, we didn't finish with it, and I really don't know what will be with it. The situation in Israel is so, so, so bad. After 20 years, we couldn't find a solution. And it means that every year in Israel, we have 4,000 babies that noladim, that 4,000 tinokot noladim v'Israel every year, because we couldn't find the solution. We couldn't give them when they want. In the beginning, we 20 years ago, we did everything that we knew to have Olim Chadashim from Brit HaMotzot, and believe me, we did everything. We learned from all the mistakes we did in the past with our parents, with our granny, and it was really, really good klita, be'emet, when we see the results now. But from the aspect of the Jewish aspect, we didn't help them, and we sent them by themselves to find their way. And yes, there is no braveness, no brave rabbis in Israel, because it's not a situation that one man or one woman coming to the Rabbanut or the Anim and say, we want to convert, we want to be Jewish. We are talking about historic moments when gates are open and our brothers and sisters are coming home. And home from Israeli point of view was open for them, but home from Jewish point of view still closed for them. And yes, it's because that 66 years ago, Ben-Gurion gave the mandate to the ultra-Orthodox people, and since then, they are there. They are not sensitive enough, they are not Zionists. Most of them didn't even want that our brothers and sisters will be with us, and they still continue to blame us and still continue to against all the situations that we are trying to change, to achieve, and find solutions. So I hope and I pray that the legislation that will give the ability to the rabbis in the cities will help, like in the past. Like when the community, the rabbi and the community were small, the rabbi knew and everyone in the community and could help. Now, when we have the bureaucracy and we have all the situation now in Israel, I hope that this legislation. But I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting. That's why I opened my house to Giorot. 6 years ago, the first Giora came to me and told me her story, and I was shocked. Because, you know, Giorim in Israel become a gender issue. Most of the Giorim are Giorot. 80% of the Mitgeirim are Giorot. The boys, the men, it's not that important for them. They married an Israeli girl, a lady, student, whatever. It's okay. But when we think about the Giorot, they want to be with us. They serve in the army, they're learning with our kids, they are in the universities, they are in the working place, but they are alone. They are alone. And think about a situation that a student, she wants to marry her a friend, and when she go to the Beit HaDin, it's horrible. For me, it's horrible to go there, so for her. So that's why we need to open our house and we need to be together with them. And yes, it's time to civil marriage. It's time to civil no, gyur. How many gyur zrachim? Civil conversion. It's time for civil conversion. It's time. You know what is civil conversion? Civil conversion. In Israel, you know, in Israel we have a socialization gyur. Because I remember 20 years ago when my neighbor, she came to live close to me. She came from Russia, and I remember her questions, and she asked me, Lisa, Saturday, it's open or not? Chagimi, the shops are open or not? I mean, all the socialization together with the educational system, etc., etc., people know what it means, Jewish state. People know what it means that today is Friday and today is Shabbat and Pesach, etc., etc. And more than that, Lucia that came and asked me all the questions, she opened a huge studio for nails. And she is expert now, and she advised the kalot to put the nail before mikveh, after mikveh. She became expert via the socialization, and she is the one that advised the new bride and the young girls what to do with the rabbis, etc., etc. And always when I go to her, it's so funny to see what's happened to her and how she becomes so expert with all the halachot of Taharat HaMishpacha. And you can laugh, but this is a situation in Israel. When I think about a civil marriage, it means that it can come from families, from communities. When community open the doors for mitgeirim and mitgeirot, it means that Lucia and Aline and other ladies can come together. I went to the court together with mitgeirot, and when I'm with them, it goes like this, but I go when they are ready to go. But when I'm with them, it's work, and it means that yes, it's time to be involved and to bring together our responsibility to the situation. So yes, legislations, of course, but it's not enough. It's not enough. I see the situation in my committee, the status of women and equal opportunities. In Israel, we have a lot of legislation for women. A lot. But when I see all the statistics and when I see all the situation and the gaps that we have in the labor market, in the other fields, that there are legislation. Golda Meir was the first one that legislated the law against... she was the one that Chok Avodat Nashim. It was 1953. So if Golda, let's imagine that Golda will come and visit us in Israel, she will ask us not only why it was never another prime minister woman. She will ask it, but she will ask what's happened from to my legislation from 1953 that so many women are far away, and the salary, if I can tell you, the salary between men and women, same position, same education, same status, 30%. So it's influence, because if young couple want to decide that they want money, so it's much more profitable for them,
profitable
for them to send the husband, because he is the one that has a more salary, and it's not a couple decision, it's the society decision. So legislation, as I said, it's not enough. We need to work with it. By the way, here in the States it's the same. Not only in Israel. Months ago I was in the conference in the OECD for the women's status, and the situation here in the States really, really like in Israel, in the working place. So it's an international situation. We can tell why and understand and learn, but what I mean to explain via this example is legislation is not enough. And yes, we have to work on other tools and other ways to find things that really on our mind. עכשיו אני אגיד משהו בעברית שקשור לפרשת שבוע, בסדר? טוב, אז בשבת שעברה אנחנו קראנו על היובל, ובמוצא שבת אצלנו ביום ראשון יהיה לנו את ל"ג בעומר, היום שבו נפסקה המיטה של תלמידים של רבי עקיבא. ושני הדברים הללו, גם היובל וגם הפסקת המוות של התלמידים של רבי עקיבא, מעבירים את אותו המסר, אותו המינינג, אחדות, יוניטי. ביובל נעלמות המחיצות, all the borders נעלמים, הכל 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 נעלם, מההיבט החברתי, מההיבט הכלכלי. אין יותר עבדים, אין יותר בעלי אחוזות ענקיים, אין יותר בעלי הון ואנשים שהם עובדי קבלן. הכל 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 משתנה, העבדים חוזרים הביתה, האדמה חוזרת לבעלים שלה. ולג בעומר, לג בעומר מלמד אותנו עד כמה גדול העונש על הפרידה, על הפירוד בתוך עם ישראל. התלמידים של רבי עקיבא הסתכלו זה על זה מלמעלה, הם גבה ליבם, הם זלזלו אחד בשני, הם לא למדו ביחד, הם לא היו ביחד, הם לא נהגו כבוד זה בזה. כל אחד חשב שהוא יותר טוב, כל אחד חשב שהוא נעלה על האחר, שהוא צודק, שרק הוא יודע, שרק הוא מבין. לא נהגו כבוד זה בזה. אותו רעיון מופיע גם בתחילת הפרשה, בחוקותיי, על הברכה, ונתתי שלום בארץ, ושכבתם בעין מחריד. אם תפתחו את רש"י, מה רש"י אומר לנו על הפסוק הזה? שמה תאמרו, הרי מאכל והרי משתה. הנה עץ השדה כבר נותן את פריו, והארץ נותנת את יבולה. אבל אם אין שלום, אם אין שלום, אין לנו שום דבר. לא משנה האוכל, ולא משנה היבול, ולא משנה השתייה, ולא משנה שום דבר. תלמוד לומר אחר כל זאת, ונתתי שלום בארץ. מכאן שהשלום שקול כנגד הכל. אני יודעת שהדברים האלה ידועים, ואתם מלמדים אותם, ועבודת קודש שאתם עושים, והיכולת שלכם, אני עברתי לעברית, and your ability to speak to the people here in the States, and in your congregations, אתם עושים עבודת קודש. אתם שליחי מצווה. אתם יודעים איך להאהיב את היהדות. איך להנגיש יהדות. To accessible Judaism, this is our mission in our generation, and you know how to do it. You really know how to do it. I remember in Baltimore when I sat together with your rabbis, I heard the conversation with their congregation, people from the congregation, and אתם ממש, אתם הרבה יותר מרבנים, אתם פסיכולוגים, אתם עובדים סוציאליים. אין לנו דמות של רבנים כמוכם בארץ, אין דבר כזה. אתם באמת, אתם עושים עבודת טוב, בסדר. אין לנו מספיק בארץ, בסדר? אוקיי. אין לנו, יש לנו כל כך הרבה מה ללמוד מהסנסיטיב שלכם ומהיכולת שלכם לחבק גם את מי שרחוק. אנחנו לא מספיק טובים. אנחנו לא מספיק טובים. אנחנו לא מספיק מתחשבים בישראל. אבל מה שאני רוצה להוסיף זה שהדברים האלה הם מוכרים לכם כי אתם מלמדים את זה, ואתם חיים את זה, ואתם עושים את זה יום יום, שעה שעה, מתוך אהבת ישראל. באמת, אני יודעת את זה. אבל אבן עזרא אומר עוד משהו על מה שהזכרתי עד עכשיו, והדברים שלו פחות מוכרים. אבן עזרא, כאשר כמו תמיד, למי שמכיר את אבן עזרא, הוא לא אומר שתי מילים במקום שבו אפשר להסתפק באחת. וזה דרכו של אבן עזרא. והוא אומר, ונתתי שלום בארץ ביניכם. בלי שלום ביניכם, אומר אבן עזרא, לא תוכלו לעמוד במבחנים המתוארים בפסוקים הבאים בפרשה. ורדפתם את אויביכם ונפלו לפניכם בחרב. וזה המסר, וזאת האחדות, וזה השלום, וזה מה שפתחתי ואמרתי, shared Jewish destiny, דרכו של רבי עקיבא, וחזונו של הרבנים שאני הולכת לאורם, וגם אתם הולכים לאורם, ואז נוכל לומר, כמו בהפטרה, חזק חזק ונתחזק.
I have time for maybe one or two quick questions.
Respectfully,
yeah,
is there a mic on the right?
Yeah, I guess.
Sorry, just to the people online.
Hi, I'm Menachem Creditor, I'm a rabbi in California. In all due respect, in your book, you are a Nevi'ah. You are a Ba'alat Tefillah. You bring our tradition to an incredible clarity. But right now, you sound like a politician. Our Israeli rabbis are brave. You didn't name them. The rabbinate is a horrible, horrible, corrupt place because we're not part of it. We won't do it perfectly. But you sound like a politician. And I'm patient, but only to a degree. I probably would still be listened to more just because I have a beard. So, I don't want a parallel not marriage. I want kiddushin, that our rabbis who are men and women are empowered by our home to create. I want holiness, not accessibility, to be the way conservative rabbis are treated. And I'm glad you're here. I wish you sounded like your book. I wish you sounded like you spoke at RTI when I was there too. Because Israeli society has a lot of brave rabbis who aren't being paid by our government. It's not acceptable to ask for peace and to ask us to be quiet in order that there should be peace.
Bill had to step away for a moment. Are there any other rabbis who want to be acknowledged to ask a question, make a comment? Do we have anybody else? Please. You need to come to the mic.
You began by saying,
I am
Jonathan Sadoff
from
Omer these days, Israel, close to Be'er Sheva, and Omer. על הגורל של ישראל, שזה כולל כל האנשים בחדר הזה, כל היהודים בארצות הברית וכל העולם. אנחנו, אני חושב, קיווינו שהיהדות שאנחנו מכירים, שגם מחבק את כל הספקטרום, כל מגוון מהרפורמים, האורתודוקסים וכל מי שהוא באמצע, יהיה גם בישראל. שיהיה משהו לישראלים, לכל עם ישראל ששייך להם, שזה היהדות. אבל אנחנו רואים שאני חושב שמה שקורה זה ההפך. אנחנו רואים את הסקולריזציה בארצות הברית, כי נראה שאני חושב ששם קובע המציאות לעם יהודי. ואני שואל אותך, מה האחריות של ישראל לכל עם ישראל ביהדות שלנו?
And I really have to thank you for your questions, because I can open another lecture about now. Aval. I'm Lisa Lavi, and I'm Orthodox. I know that in the Rabbanut, and I tell you why. Actually Yair Lapid asked me to lead the civil marriage, but I you know why I'm leading it in my party, because I know it will, this legislation will change the Rabbanut, and it will change the Rabbanut. I hate what's happened now in the Rabbanut from many other aspects, from Chevra Kadisha, that it's close, and not only for women, that I'm trying to add women to the committees in Chevra Kadisha. But I know what has happened there, and I want to change it. And other thing, all the mikvaot, and all the other things, the kashrut, the maracha kashrut. Since I put the legislation, so suddenly Ben Dan opened the kashrut, and etc., etc. I know that there's many, many, many issues to work and to change. But what I can't change is that we have to understand, and I'll tell you something that I asked Isaiah if I can share this example with you. 5 years ago, I found that I can't find for myself a place in my congregation to give lectures, even though that I'm so popular in Israel, but in my own congregation, nobody gave me permission to give a lesson in Limud, in Erev Shavuot. It was closed for women. I belong in very, old synagogue that was established by people that came after the Holocaust. And it's very nice neighborhood, very, very nice. But the old people ask me, Eliza, we are not used to, etc., etc. I didn't want to argue with them, and I found my place in Shira Chadasha, in Jerusalem. This was my solution, even though I'm going alone every Shabbat when I'm in Jerusalem. My kids and my husband are not with me. They don't want to come with me to Shira Chadasha. This is my decision, but not every Shabbat, because I want to be with my family. So this kind of solution that I find to myself, because I can't continue in my congregation. So what I did, I said, okay, I'm a popular lecturer in Israel, and I found that only in Jerusalem there are places that I can speak. So I say to myself, let's open something in Tel Aviv. You know, Tel Aviv is a secular city, no limud. It was the limud in Beit Daniel, it was the limud in Bina, but not something for religious people and together with people that want to learn. And I went to the biggest place that called Tzavta. Tzavta is, Tzavta is a place that is very, very popular for shows, for musicals, etc., etc. So since then, 4 years, we have the biggest limud in Erev Shavuot all night long. If you are in Tel Aviv, you are more than welcome this Shavuot to come with us, the best lectures. And it's open for everyone. It's five halls, something like 5,000 people. It's really something amazing. Many, many people are coming with us. This year, my colleague, friends, good friends, Izhar S., wrote us a letter and said, you ignore me. You don't invite me. No conservative rabbis, no reform rabbis. My partners are the Orthodox rabbi, Rabbi Netzuah, in this special evening. I ask Izhar, give me names, and he gave me names of my two very good friends, Rabbi Tamar Appelbaum and Rav Golan Kinshnem. Amazing, I like them, I love them, and I learn with them. But my partner said we can't have them. And I know, I'm telling you, I was honest from the beginning. I know that it's a problem. I know that I want to host all the other people in Israel, but on other hand, I found the balance to have all the people. And I know, what can I do? I know that if conservative rabbi and reform rabbis will attend, so it will influence on the tamhil, on the balance that we found to have this Shomer Shabbat Tikkun in Tel Aviv, that religious people and secular people can come together and learn. It's open for everyone. It's a lot of kesef. Yesh shmirat Shabbat. En ramkolim b'Shabbat. Hakol mutam lechulam. Ma ani yechola lasot? Shezeh ha-metziut. Ani agil lecha yoter mize. Ani agil lecha yoter mize. Ani omert et ze bekeev. אבל הרבה אנשים, אם יהיו רבנים קונסרבטיביים ורפורמים, לא יבואו. עכשיו, אני, זאת המציאות. אני כואבת אותה. אני רוצה לשנות אותה. אבל אי אפשר הכל במהירות. גם עם הרבנות. אנחנו צריכים לשנות את הרבנות. אבל אני לא יכולה לשבור את הכלים. אני לא יכולה לשבור את הכלים. וזה הרבה יותר מורכב. כי חוק ברית הזוגיות שאנחנו שמים עכשיו על השולחן, פותח מסלול אזרחי נפרד. בהסכמות שהיו עם התנועה הקונסרבטיבית ועם התנועה הרפורמית, ההבנה הייתה שאם אתה עושה הסכם נפרד, אזרחי נפרד, מההתחלה ועד הסוף, אין שום קשר עם עם השדה ההלכתי. עכשיו, אם עם הרבנות האורתודוקסית. עכשיו, אם בסוף התהליך, עכשיו אנחנו לא מתערבים, אם אחד רוצה לעשות חתונה קונסרבטיבית, חתונה רפורמית, חתונה של יהודית, חתונה סינית, אתה לא מתערב בזה. אתה לא מתערב בזה. כלומר, אנשים החליטו את מה שהם רוצים לעשות, ובכך אני מקווה שתינתן הלגיטימציה לחתונות באמצעות רבנים קונסרבטיביים. זאת התשובה שלי. אני לא יכולה לשרוף את המועדון. אתה יודע יותר מזה. אני מסיימת. יותר מזה. אני אגיד לך למה ראש המפלגה שלי, שאני מאוד מעריכה אותו ואת המקום שנותן לנושא של דת ומדינה. אבל אתה יודע למה הוא לא התרגש מארבע אנשים בוועדה למינוי דיינים? אתה יודע למה? כי הוא רוצה לסגור את הרבנות. הוא רוצה לסגור את בתי הדין. משום שהוא חושב שהם לא פועלים נכון, אבל אי אפשר לשרוף את המועדון. אי אפשר לשרוף את המועדון. וכשיריב אורביס ממרץ אומר לי, מה את עושה בכלל את החוק הזה והזה, אני עדיין אומרת לו, אין לי ברירה, רוב אוכלוסיית מדינת ישראל בוחרת להתחתן בנישואים דתיים, ואני צריכה להיות שם כדי לשמור עליהם. זה התפקיד שלי, ובגלל זה אני מדברת כפוליטיקאית.
מדינה נותנת לקבוצה אחת,
בסדר, אבל זאת,
השלום,
אני לא, השלום הייתה קריאה אליי, אלינו, אל הגורל המשותף שלנו. אנחנו חייבים להמשיך לשמור על שלום בינינו, אנחנו חייבים לשמור על שלום בינינו, כי אחרת אנחנו נהיה חלשים יותר.
שלום רוצה את שני הצדדים.
This we thank you very much, Aliza, especially for your candor and for your passion, and we are truly one family that it is hard to say it, that seems to be at war with itself, and we must bring peace. We must be together, Rodev Shalom and Ohev Shalom. And you said yourself, and we say as well, you said, I am Aliza Lavi and I am Orthodox. We are Knesset HaRabbanim, and we are Masorti, and we are Jewish. We are part of the Jewish people. We are Zionist. We are actually your core Zionist base in this country. And I feel for you very deeply as a woman leader how alone you feel, right? In other ways and other questions, I feel it too. But I must tell you, this is not what keeps me up at night. Two things keep me up at night. One is my fear that the Jewish people is dividing, and we must move much faster and be much bolder and much braver if we are going to have a Jewish people. To you I say it, to me I say it, to my colleagues I say it. That is first. To really work together has to mean something different. My more proximate fear is that world Jewry is becoming so profoundly alienated from Israel that it will not be how alone you feel or I feel, but that Israel will stand alone before a nuclear Iran. Israel will stand alone before a world that blames it unilaterally for its very existence. I understand we can say it's a process, right? It takes time. Take as long as you want. I would ask you to give this message to your colleagues back home. Tell them that Knesset HaRabbanim had this message for them, and we are grateful to you for your willingness to deliver. Take as long as you want. But while you're taking this time, we're losing them. There are 3.5 million Jews in play. Okay, 3.5 million, just to count the Reform and the Conservative. I haven't even counted the other 20% that are completely unaffiliated. And they cannot make sense, right? We are as close to understanding as you are ever going to find, right? Because we know the halakha, we have religious passion, we are ourselves a pluralist big tent organization. You should know we don't all agree with each other, right? But we live as one Knesset HaRabbanim, right? We live respectfully. Everybody has a place here. There are those who are egalitarian. There are a few still who are not egalitarian. Right? You were in Toronto. This is the stronghold of that. But what terrifies me, and so you will forgive us if we are not, if we lose some of our American politeness today. But while the Knesset in Israel is taking its time dealing with the Rabbanut, who is telling us that we are not Jewish, right? That a marriage that would be a Masorti marriage has to be a civil marriage because it can't be a Jewish marriage, because they have said in so many words that this is another religion. They will, if people like the Yesh Atid as a party does not step in and stop this, there will not be a Jewish people left to talk about, and there will not be a world Jewry left to defend Israel. It's because by the time you get to the question, it's over. You've lost them. Right? By the time when the missiles are flying, they are so alienated, you can't bring them back. It's too late. And so we are actually not, we are really the interlocutors who are coming to lay at the feet. And frankly, one of the first places is of your party. So forgive us if we are strong. But we are coming to lay this at your feet because we are the people who care. And in fact, the message that we say to you, to them, we try so hard to say, see another Israel, come with us. It's a larger picture. We want you to see the whole country. Look at the humanitarian work that they're doing. Look at the great science work that they're doing. Look at these things that are starting. But they see a country that says, but my mother had a conservative conversion, and so I'm not Jewish. I've been Jewish my whole life. My rabbi, who took me to Israel 4 times and taught me this Zionism, how can I understand that this rabbi has no authority in Israel? And so you'll forgive us if we also hear with some sensitivity to say there are no rabbis like this in Israel. Well, actually, there's close to 150. You should get to know them. We want to be your partners, but we will not be silent. We cannot afford to be silent. We owe it to the Jewish people and to the Jewish country that we will make this whatever kind of a discussion it has to be. We do it with love. We do it with caring. We do it because the alternative to imagine that we will let Judaism divide this way is unthinkable to us. Please take this with love, with sisterhood, with achdut, right? I will now call upon my esteemed colleague, the co-president of our Israel region, Rabbi Dubi Chayun, to present one of our recent publications.
ואני אדבר גם בעברית. אני אקרא את זה בעברית. העוסקת בצורכי ציבור באמונה, וחברת הכנסת עליזה לוי, עם הכרת הטוב, ותודה מטעם רבי ניקל סמבל לכנסת הרבנים בישראל. תודה רבה.
אני רק אגיד משפט אחד. ממש עמדו לי דמעות בעיניים שדיברת. אני כל כך מזדהה עם כל מילה שאמרת עכשיו, אבל אנחנו חיים בתוך חברה מאוד 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 מורכבת ומסוכסכת, החברה הישראלית. וצריך להיות הרבה יותר חכמים אחרי 66 שנים לבוא ולראות. כמו שאת דיברת על אותה בחורה שבאה לישראל מקהילה בדרום אפריקה, ותאמיני לי, הן מגיעות אליי, כי אני פתחתי את הבית שלי יחד עם החברות שלי. אבל מה אני עונה לקצינה מצטיינת בצבא? שהגיור של אמא שלה לא, ומה אני עונה לאנשים שמדברים עברית וחיים בארץ ותורמים ומתים במדינה הזאת ולא סופרים אותם כיהודים? הכל נכון, אבל תבין את המורכבות וגם את הלגיטימציה. אני לא יכולה לאבד את הלגיטימציה שלי באורתודוקסיה, כי אם אני אאבד את הלגיטימציה שלי באורתודוקסיה, אין לי כוח. אני לא יכולה לאבד אותה, ולכן אני חייבת להיות מחושבת, כי אין הרבה אנשים לעבוד איתם, לא בממשלה הזאת, וזאת ממשלה הכי טובה שהייתה לנו בשנים האחרונות לענייני דת ומדינה. ולכן חשבנו וקיווינו, אבל את רואה את ההתנהגות של הבית היהודי, את רואה את הפחד, שאוחז באנשים שהם במשרות, וזה לא פשוט, וזה כן, זה גם נושא של נשים וגברים. אנחנו עוד לא מספיק נשים. אין לנו מספיק נשים שנמצאות, לא, אני מדברת כרגע בישראל, בנושאים הללו של דת ומדינה, אין לנו מספיק נשים. אין לנו. יש היום דור חדש של תלמידות חכמות. את יודעת מה הנושא שאני עכשיו מטפלת בו? אני רוצה שכל הבנות היום, כל הנשים שלומדות תורה, יקבלו את אותה סובסידיה שהבנים בישיבות מקבלים. ושר החינוך עוזר לי. וזאת תהיה מהפכה. כי ברגע שאנחנו, תהיה לנו תלמידות חכמות ו... the men's get money when they are sitting in the yeshiva, the women aren't. So I want to give subsidy for women.
Better give subsidy to nobody, right?
Or everybody.
No.
our tradition teaches us to have a profession. Israel's economy, and this I understood this clearly to be Yair Lapid's position, is that the economy needs more people to work, and to people who can study, there's time on Shabbat to study at night, to study early in the morning, to study...
זה חוק השוויון בנטל, לא על זה אני מדברת, אבל עדיין יש את ה-1800 שמאושרים ללמוד. אני רוצה, תדעת מה, 200 נשים שתלמדנה על חשבון המדינה, במוסדות של המדינה. וברגע שהמהפכה הזאת יצא לדרך, אז יהיה לנו הרבה יותר קל. אני מבטיחה. להתראות.